Oh, even with a wicked air drum solo to the wrong music, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. It's the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So, while you're searching for outtakes on the cutting room floor, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right, and that means it's time to bring in our video recording of Irvet. Some say he has anonymously written screenplays for 7 motion pictures, and others say Indiana Jones was based off his geocaching adventures. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, you know, I am so happy tonight to get an intro from my good buddy Wits End. We've missed you for the last few.
Well, thank you. I don't know if you've missed much. It's been different, but maybe it's been better.
It's been different, but not better.
I could have set the mannequin, the puppet up. I could have.
You could have.
I could have just left this there, you know.
You could have.
Oh, your stash is better than any trackable.
I don't know about that. It's kind of droopy today on one side. I keep turning it up, but it's a bad hair day.
You having a bad stash day?
Could be.
Do you want to talk about it?
Nope.
Okay.
Good. Well, something we do want to talk about is our supporters, our Patreon supporters who patronize our podcast and probably patronize us sometimes.
Patronize us.
We're good with that. Hey, you know what? We want to thank them. First of all, our faithful Denali level supporters, Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. Also, speaking of WorldCaching.com, sending out get well soon wishes for Tracy at WorldCaching.com. Mm. Had some incident with her hand that's being repaired. She'll be faster, stronger.
Ooh.
Yeah. Does she, well, every time she goes to shake your hand, is there going to be dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun? I think so.
Does she have special theme music every time she moves?
She already did.
I really hope so.
Okay.
All right. Well, so thinking about you, Tracy, hopefully you're feeling better soon. In the meantime, we also want to thank all of our other Patreon supporters. If you're interested in learning more about Patreon, you can just click on the link on the left-hand side of the cachingnw.com website. I had to actually think about that for a moment. I had to visualize the website in my mind. It's over there on the left-hand side. All right. Well, anyways, that list of supporters is Subway Mark, Cachemaniacs, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, and Billy Robson. Thank you, every single one of you guys, so much for your support. Is that a round of applause?
It was a round of applause.
Your lung capacity has increased week after week.
I told you. I said last week, I said, okay, next week I'll do it in one breath.
He's been doing breathing exercises during the week just to get through that list. So let's add another one just to see.
I was going to say, the challenge is the throne now. So if we can get enough patrons out there that Land Monkey can't read them all in one breath.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should do.
I think that sounds like a good challenge.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, for this week's show, tonight, we want to talk about GJIF 2017.
Yeah, we do.
But you know what? Geocaching.com has spent many hours updating your profile page.
Mine?
So, Caching in the Northwest wants to help. Submit a GLOW or a geocaching log of the week, and you can have a GLOW badge to put on that brand spanking new profile page.
Me?
Yes, you.
Wow.
Yeah. Because whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it. Great logs simply make geocaching better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know, you can call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow.
So, hey, Wits End, I just learned something.
Did you?
I did. I learned that if I just pause and don't read my lines, Chris will read them for me, and I don't have to do anything.
That's great. I was going to let him read the glow because his name was on it, but he's changing it while we're chatting.
Oh.
So now all of a sudden it's my responsibility.
Oh.
I wonder how long I have to wait before he reads it.
Yeah, just stop. See what happens.
So the glow this week is from...
What is the glow this week?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
It's from our good friend Subway Mark.
Nice.
He was listed as one of the patrons there, as I recall.
Yes, yes,
he is. If my memory works that well, it was so long ago.
It was so long ago when your memory worked well?
Yeah, Land Monkey has breathed since then, so.
Things could have changed.
A single breath is all it takes.
He sent it in from GC3MQ0W. Was it Wilhoit or Wilhoit Springs? I don't know the pronunciation down there. I once mangled Poeg State Park only to find it was Shampooey. So I'm sure there's probably some correct pronunciation that I'm not finding down there. And he says it was part of the 2012 CCHS Geo Heritage Tour. I don't think that's Cascade Christian High School, but that's what CCHS says here in Tacoma. But who knows? Could be, right?
Could be.
Land Monkey will be thrilled because this log is for an earth cache.
Nice.
How about that?
Well done.
It's for earth cache in rural Clackamas County, Oregon, at what once was a mineral springs resort, later abandoned and now a county park. It's a quiet park at the end of a dead-end road south of Molalla.
That's why the area sounded familiar. I've been to Molalla, and I've done the GeoCoin tour in Molalla.
Ah, and probably an earth cache or 10.
Possibly, yes.
The log is from Sunday, October 8th, and it says, this was a fun earth cache to find, although a little frustrating at the same time due to multiple reasons. My goal was to hit an earth cache for International Earth Cache Day.
Weekend.
Well, this log is from 2012. Maybe. Well, is the log recently or is the log? I don't know.
There you go. You're right.
I don't know. I digress. First is, do we take a drive or not? This is the first time since our two dogs passed that we went for a drive for geocaching without them, so that was a bit sad, but we decided to go. I loaded up my GPSR with caches before we left the house, or at least I thought I had.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. We had to stop at church to drop off donations for a rummage sale, then stopped at Dutch Brothers for a drink, then Costco for gas. I turned on my GPSR and noticed it did not load geocaches, only parking waypoints.
Oh, I hate that when that happens.
Since I knew this earth cache may not have cell coverage, I know I cached at that spot before, we made a quick swing by the house to reload the caches. Before we left again, I verified that this earth cache was loaded, and off we went from Salem, taking some back roads to get there. It was a little chilly when we arrived. I started looking at the earth cache description on my GPSR so I'd know what questions to find answers to. I scrolled down, and all my GPSR had was the first few lines of text, nothing else. I checked my phone. No coverage on AT&T. My wife has Verizon, but no coverage there. I tried to remember the cache page when I looked at it at home, and then I decided to try it anyway. Quickly figured out I did not have the answers. So we drove off. I decided that I would try again, but needed cell service. We had to drive about 6 or 7 miles before cell coverage was good enough for data to work. I then downloaded the cache for offline mode in my phone and drove back. Now, with questions in hand, we walked over to the springs. We did the water flow check on the first spring, and I even tasted it. His comment is, yuck. I'm not much into regular mineral water, and this was a bit over the top. I guess back in the day, if it tasted a little like acid, it must have been healthy. Then, frustration set in again. We couldn't find the other spring. Although, I later decided what must have been the spring. We had a nice chat with the friendly caretaker. She verified I was correct where the second spring is. The pump on the second spring broke last winter when someone tried to use it during icy weather. Not smart. The county took the pump away to repair it, but that was last April. And the log, I believe, was from October. We also inquired about the bridge. It was dismantled over a year ago because it was falling apart. However, my wife and I loved this quiet park. It would be a great place to hold a little event without cell phone coverage, people would be forced to talk to each other. And for geocaches, we would need to be in offline mode or have preloaded geocaches into your GPSR. It's like going back to the dark ages. The caretaker loves it here. She's lived there for 40 years. I'm amazed that this was a major resort many, many years ago. Now it's a county park, and, well, it seems like it's forgotten. I hope the county fixes the pump and replaces the bridge someday, but not develop it too much more so it remains the little jewel that it is.
Neat.
There you go. How many cool places like that have we found all because of geocaching?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you, Subway Mark, for that wonderful glow. And, you know, we've all been there. Don't have what you need, didn't get everything. And, you know, we rely on our cell phones or our technology, and it can fail us.
Yeah. So. You know, I try to rely when I go out on Land Monkey. Mm-hmm. I find that if I take a Land Monkey with me on my geocaching adventures, I rarely ever have to worry about it.
What could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Are you happy to see me, or is that a Land Monkey in your pocket?
Sorry, what? I really hope not.
Oh, in your backpack then.
So if you do the Earth Cache down there and make it a milestone, you should call in. How would somebody do that?
Well, if it's a milestone cache that you're celebrating, why not call it into 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? You know what? We've also got a voicemail tool on the website.
Really?
Yes. And do you know people actually use these things?
No way.
Yes. Prove it. Total way.
Prove it.
Okay.
Hi guys, Dora Moore here, coming to you from this year's Metro Vancouver GIF event, and I am celebrating not one, but two milestones. This event marks my 4,000th cache find, and today also just happens to be my 60th birthday, and I can't think of a way I'd rather celebrate either milestone than watching films about geocaching and surrounded by my extended geocaching family. That includes you guys, so thanks for celebrating. Carry on.
Well,
that's awesome.
Thank you, Dora Moore, for calling in. Two major celebrations on one evening.
That's great. Yeah, and happy birthday, or belated birthday.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really cool. You're almost as old as Land Monkey now.
In monkey years, yes. In monkey years. that's awesome. It was really nice of Dora Moore to actually spend her 60th birthday at the GIF event when she probably could have been doing a lot of other different things to celebrate a significant milestone birthday like that.
Like getting free pancakes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully she did that also.
But okay.
There you go. That was very, very cool. And happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. And just hope that was a great day. I think she's off on a geocaching adventure somewhere right now. I'm sure if she cares to share the information, she will in the chat. But that's awesome. So thank you for calling in to 253-693-TFTC and or using the tool on the site.
And I like that she did it from the event, because the ambiance of the noise, I think, really does add. And you could hear her very clearly, but you could tell she was at an event. And I thought that was nice.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that event a little later in this podcast. In the meantime, something else we want to tell you guys about is that a little bit of news here. Geocaching HQ has been selected as one of Outside Magazine's best places to work in 2017. So congratulations, geocaching.com. They said not only are the winning companies great workplaces for employees, but they respect the environment and encourage a balance between work and enjoying life and the great outdoors. Geocaching HQ is honored to be recognized in Outside's best places to work for the seventh year in a row, said Brian Roth, co-founder and CEO of Geocaching HQ. Said, we've worked hard to co-create a workplace that embodies the adventurous spirit of the global geocaching community, and these awards are a wonderful acknowledgement of our continued progress towards this goal. Well spoken, Brian. I like that. The article goes on just a little bit more to say the winning companies are those that value productivity in combination with an active, eco-conscious lifestyle for a fulfilling experience inside and outside the office. This is the 10th year that Outside Magazine has provided best places to work, and Geocaching HQ was at number 21 on the overall list. So well done, you guys. I don't know how many are in the list, but obviously more than 20.
At least 21, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's awesome. I think we all, anybody who's actually been down there and visited HQ would probably attest to the fact that everybody there seems pretty happy, healthy, engaged, and just really enjoying working there.
That's right. They have over 80 employees now.
Wow.
Remember when it was only 3? Oh, let me tell you, Sonny, about the good old days when they were in an unheated garage and only 3 of them. They had to huddle together for warmth. and sell t-shirts. Those are
good old days for the three of them.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Hey, folks, we want to know about your geocaching activities. So if you're listening live, go over to the chat. Tell us what you've done this week in geocaching with that hashtag FTAS. That's F-T-A-S for the after show.
Mm.
And we'll talk about it here in just a few moments.
Nice.
And there already has been some, by the way.
Yeah.
Because our loyal listeners know what to do. You guys are so smart. Thank you.
They are. You know what I forgot to do before the show?
Hmm.
I forgot to search Twitter for hashtag FTAS to see if there's anything other than free trade agreements.
Could very well be more than just free trade agreements.
Right. Because we do encourage people who are listening to the podcast, not live. If you're listening to the recorded podcast and you want us to talk about something that perhaps we hadn't planned to talk about, we'll include it in the after show if you tweet hashtag FTAS.
No, more free trade agreements.
Hmm.
You know, we've got to take that hashtag over.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the after show is way more interesting than free trade agreements. At least,
I mean, yeah, there's people sitting around a round table and the next one's a picture of women sorting bananas. So somewhere in between there should be geocaching.
Well, women sorting bananas is probably getting closer to geocaching.
It's probably true.
It's monkey food.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, could be, you know, you have to find the banana that has the...
There you go.
It's a bison banana.
It's a banano.
Banana cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No.
Okay. Ring, 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 ring. Banana cash.
Bananas in pajamas.
Coming down the stairs.
In pairs. All right. Well, now that we've completely derailed.
Oh, yeah.
So glad to have you back.
Totally jumped off the rails.
All right. Well, you know what?
What?
We have covered off some news. We've covered off our FTAS and some milestones there. So thanks, everybody, for all that. And we're going to talk about GJIF events, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, all three hosts of this podcast did get to a GJIF event this past weekend.
I did.
And I also did. So,
well, then that's all three.
That's
still all three of us. Ooh, excuse me.
Nice. So did you guys go to the same one or different ones?
And we went to a different one than you did.
Okay, yes.
And really,
in case you hadn't noticed, I just wanted to let you know.
One reacts to the films in such an individual manner. You could say we went to our own events in our own way. However, Wits End and I did at least ride in the same car.
Yeah.
There
went to
go.
The same event. We went to one in Seattle. If frequent listeners or longtime listeners might remember that we went to an event here in Tacoma on a local college campus the last couple of years in a row. And this year, well, there wasn't one. And I had to work over the weekend. So it worked out. Monday, we went up to Seattle to an event in Seattle where we saw Brian. Mm-hmm. And a couple other lackeys there, I think, right?
Yes. Aaron or Oceans Azul, who's in charge of GJIF, was there.
Yeah. So I felt like we were among celebrities there.
Oh, definitely.
Nice. It was a lot of fun. And we won a raffle prize. I think we each won a raffle prize.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Monkey Cakes was with us. So I had a good time up there. And little project for the research team chat room. There was some photos taken. Who did you say was the host that snapped the photo after the event there?
Oceans Azul.
So I know she took a picture, and I think somebody else took a picture. So if you search, scour social media and
go
find
search
a picture
the event,
of us,
it's there.
Yeah, we're there on it. Yeah,
well,
send that to the show.
Wits End actually did make an appearance at the GJIF event up here in Metro Vancouver.
Oh.
Did you know that, Wits End?
I think I did. I've not seen it. I did get an email about it, but I've been so busy I haven't opened it. So,
who was the email from?
Some guy.
Oh.
Some video editor guy.
Oh, okay. Well, that video, I was waiting until after GIF weekend was all done and everything, and then I'll put that out on the interwebs. So just so everybody knows what we're talking about, I thought it would be kind of fun. I reached out to a whole bunch of different podcasting friends, geocaching podcasting friends, across North America and in Great Britain as well, and had everybody record a little bit of video introducing the GIF 2017, and then edited it all together and shared it with everybody who participated so that they could have it at their events. And we played it at the start of our event. So that was kind of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So very I derailed nice. The Canadian event by proxy.
There you go.
Kind of, sort of.
Team Finn has posted that picture.
Oh, in yes, the there chat. It is. Yeah, if you take a look at that, the person sitting in front of Chris is wearing a gnome hat there.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have it zoomed into it, kind of a small thumbnail on my screen, it looks as if Chris is wearing a red necktie.
And I was not wearing a red necktie at the time, especially one that went like two rows ahead of me.
Yeah, it's a really big necktie.
Sorry, a red necktie or a red necktie?
Well, is either difference? Way, more of a red necktie.
Yeah. Oh,
have you met me?
I have. I know you.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a redneck.
Hmm.
I am my own stiff-neck people. Yeah. Hmm?
That's not how I would describe you.
But, oh.
Okay.
Technological well, redneck?
There you go. So you guys were at the GIF event in Seattle? And
yeah. Had a good time. Rode up with IHAM and had a good time.
Very cool. I was at the GIF event in Metro Vancouver. It was in the city of Richmond. Again, once again, thanking the city of Richmond very much for all the effort that they put into helping us make sure that the event went well and giving us the facility to host the event, which was amazing. We had a nice theater, similar to what I saw in the photo there that you posted. Just a great location for the event. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. I have learned a lesson, which is if I do this again next year, I am not going to do both the real-time online polling and the running of the movies because it's just too much to do.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Wits End and I may have to host a GIF event here in Tacoma, though we enjoyed the one in Seattle.
That was a lot of fun.
We have been spoiled with one, you know, significantly closer in the past.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, having one close to home really plays into my inherent lazy factor.
Well, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the only ones who went to a GIF event this year.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, we had Tick Magnet call in with his GIF event review. Let's take a listen.
Nice.
Hi guys, Dora Moore here. Coming.
And that's Dora Moore because that's the way this
she was
works.
The same one.
You would think.
Was she with Tick Magnet?
Let's find out.
Hi guys, this is Tick Magnet calling from Dickinson, North Dakota, where we just had the GIF event, and I am calling in a little milestone of 4,444. Our friend Limac says that is a significant number, so that's good enough for me. I'd also like to congratulate Dora Moore on 4,000 this weekend. Thanks for the fun. See you guys.
Hey, that's awesome. I love it when listeners call in to congratulate other listeners on their milestones. That is amazing. Nice job, Tick Magnet.
Exactly.
And congrats on your milestone of 4444.
That's right. Let's see.
That's four fours.
We know that's divisible by 11.
And four.
And four.
And two. And one.
And some other numbers that
and
I'm sure
44.
Limax will pop in with us.
Yeah. 22,
22. Yeah.
Nice.
So.
I think we've established it's not Prime.
Not even a Transformer.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh. In the chat, I'm going to jump off topic, for not quite off topic, just slightly off topic. Okay. Bounce Bounce says, how big does the venue need to be to host a GIF event? To which Bryling says, well, as big as the number of people attending.
There you go. Pretty much. You could have it in your living room. And I saw some pictures on Twitter of people who did host a GIF event in their living room and mm-hmm. had, you know, a few friends over to watch it.
Yep.
There's no limit on the size of the GIF event. It just had to follow the normal geocaching event rules.
There you go. Yes. The event we went to in Seattle, I wanted to say it was at 112 or 122 people maximum.
Something
so
like that.
They asked
there was a cap posted on.
Yeah, there was a limit. You know, obviously there's a number of seats in a theater, and that's the limit. So on the event page, as you posted, yes, I'm going to attend, you know, alone or with 87 of my closest friends, whatever you put down there, they kept a running total, kind of like a spreadsheet on there to show where it was. And, you know, mm-hmm. if you think, oh, I better get up there and put my will attend quickly or I won't have a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the chat as well, Mr. GeoNavPros has posted a link to a photo from our Metrovan GIF event there. So
take a look at that. Very nice.
The shot from one of the towards the back rows.
Yeah.
See on the right hand side in the poofy dress is our MC for the evening. And you'll notice that there were two screens.
Do tell.
So the large screen that if you're looking at the photo that has the geocaching ticket type picture on it. And then to the left of that, a smaller screen.
Is that the Caching the Northwest live feed?
No,
oh,
it wasn't.
Okay.
Because that would have been a third thing I had to do at the same time, and that would have failed epically. No, that was actually the live polling results. So as we would watch four films, we would take a 5 to 10 minute break, during which we would recount what the four films were, and folks would live vote, effectively a score of 1 to 4, one being the best, 4 being meh, on each of the films that they had watched, and then we would move along to the next set.
It's very high tech.
It actually worked really well. It's just a fair bit of work.
Sure.
I love hard work. I could watch it all day.
In fact, you know, at least for an hour, hour and a half, people in Metro Vancouver did.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun, and I'm thankful for those who supported and helped out. So, like I said, our MC, Mr. and Mrs. GeoNavPros volunteered, helped out. Mrs. Landmonkey and Bull Casher ran the concession stand, which was also very helpful. Bull Casher's son was the picker of prizes, picker of winning tickets. So, and I think he was helping with the concession stand as well. So all those things helped. I have just learned that the AV job needs to be split between more than one person. So,
very cool. Did you sing the Let's All Go to the Lobby song?
You know what's funny is the thought occurred to me to try and get a video of that to queue it up, but it was just one more thing that I didn't get to. So, but it was good. It was a great event. I really enjoy the premise of the GIF events. I think it's a great idea. I hope it continues.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do it again next year. I guess we won't know until the summer if they're going to do it again.
Now, at our event, they said the number of entries. Was it 60 some odd or over 100? I can't recall.
I thought it was over 100 entries.
Maybe it was over 100. From 60 countries?
I would find that hard to believe.
I would too.
Would you believe... Oh, never mind.
No, that's...
Would you believe 4 countries in a province?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
To that end, you know, it was nice to have a British Columbia entry from the Victoria area that made the top 17. So that was cool. We enjoyed seeing that. I thought that was a really well done one. I enjoyed that. There was an interesting selection that
there
they
definitely
had.
Was.
I would have to say, while I appreciate the effort that everybody put into making the videos, there was definitely a spectrum of, I'm going to say, quality.
Definitely. And, you know, yeah, that you could tell some people had far more video editing experience than others.
Yes.
Some of them with even special effects on the video, which, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. But yet, sometimes in this day and age, it is an easy thing to do. So,
well, it depends, again, on, as you said, the amount of experience and or skill you have and the software you have at your disposal for doing that.
Right. So in the chat, we have Bounce Bounce saying he wants to do a film for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Chasing the Iron Man says, when do they announce next year's theme?
So this year, I think the announcements were made in around the June timeframe, mm-hmm. I want to say, May or June.
Okay.
So I would expect if they're going to do it again this year, that it'll be around the same time frame. I don't see why they wouldn't do it again this year. I can't imagine that the cost to benefit ratio for geocaching.com is in the negative on something like this. If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Good GIF merchandise that they're able to manufacture. Yeah. Sell, etc. I think it's a profitable venture for them.
So. I noticed in the chat also that Starcatcher said drove to Ann Arbor for the GIF event there.
Oh, wow.
And coincidentally, I drove through Ann Arbor just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Where is that? Michigan?
It's in Michigan, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
South of Michigan.
Nice.
Ann Arbor is in Michigan.
Well, there you go. Maybe you were like two ships passing in the night.
I'm guessing something, yeah. I didn't attend the GIF event there because, of course, it was too early.
With
I don't even think I didn't even find a cache in Ann Arbor. I did, however, pick up one cache on the trip. It was a work trip, and I didn't have any time. But I made a point to stop and grab a cache because I had not had a find in Minnesota. So I've added a state to my map.
Nice. Well, and you were in Detroit as well, weren't you?
I was in Detroit, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's Fatas.
Awesome.
So, back to films.
Yes, let's talk about films. So, for those who are interested in making one next year, I encourage you to do so. I think it's awesome mm-hmm. to have as many people as possible participating. And definitely, like I said, the spectrum of different films that, depending on the skill level of the editing and such. It seems that they get quite a wide spectrum coming in there. What I liked this year were the films that didn't continue along the FTF theme and things like that, because mm-hmm. I think we've seen those kind of 3-4 years in a row now, and it's getting a little long in the tooth. I like
for those FTF hunters.
Yeah.
Just gives them material to say, see, I was right after all.
I don't know. I liked the more original ones. So, of course, I'm a little bit biased, but I did really like the one from the group in Victoria, BC. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't like what we've seen before. It was different. And that's why I enjoyed it. Obviously, they had some great cinematography and, you know, some really nice scenes to visually enjoy, but it was a different idea. It was a different approach. So I liked that was encouraging to me to see that. I liked, what else? What other ones that I really enjoyed?
Geocaching is Free.
That was my favorite.
And that was again, good.
With a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And a good story arc to it, really well done story arc. So it was an enjoyable film experience. And again, you know, you watch the editing and such on that one, it wasn't the greatest quality, but it was a really well done story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
So he told the story well, it was enjoyable, it was funny. That's, you know, that makes a great mm-hmm. GIF entry.
Definitely. Do we have a list of the individual films?
Oh, you know what? We should have prepared that before. Or I should have prepared that before the show, and I forgot to.
Well, I thought I did there.
Well, we can talk about the ones we remember from.
Okay.
From memory.
The list will show up in the chat room pretty soon. I'm sure.
There you go. Yeah. It's a race now, research departments. Who's the top researcher? Yeah, geocaching for free, definitely. That was one of the more enjoyable ones, Chasing the Iron Man. I mentioned that. There was a question from IHAM asking which film won at our event. And like I said, we did do the live voting, and Geocaching is Free is the one that won at our event.
I have the list now. A Travel Bug's Life. Antarctica.
I was going to say, this is not in order, or are you reading them backwards? Because I think Travel Bug's Life was...
Brylang's throwing them all in the chat one at a time there, if you're watching.
FTF Fever. My geocaching adventure. Geocaching Day in Villainous.
Yeah.
Geocaching is Free. Geocaching, Your Passport to Adventure. Geo Early Learning. Harry Durskinski and the Disco Box.
Okay, so hold on a moment. The Harry Durskinski and the Disco Box probably got the lowest number of votes at our GIF event. And again, so a video that had good technical work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem was something got lost in translation on that movie. Mm. Very few people at our event could actually really follow the story. So we weren't really sure what was going on.
Yeah. I had the feeling.
Wasn't the subtitling. It was just the story was weird.
I think it moved too quickly with subtitling and, you know, didn't allow you to catch up. I don't know.
It was a bit of a strange one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And again, like I said, I don't know if maybe it was a cultural thing. That maybe over here we just get the sense of humor, which is entirely possible. So that one was interesting. We'll say that one was interesting.
We had little Geo Urge. Little
that
George.
One was cute. That was again, you know what? Talk about original ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That one I think came in second. Yes, that one came in second at our event. And again, something not the usual fare.
Right.
It wasn't the most technically adept, but there's some technical work that clearly went into it. But it was really well done. It was enjoyable.
Next was The Art of Geocaching. That's your Canadian one there.
Weren't there two that were called The Art of Geocaching? There was one from...
The Art of Geocaching also from USA.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Zeiss.
Yes.
The Art of Future Geocaching. Of Geocaching from Germany. That one was fun.
Yes.
That was the multi-cache?
Yes.
With the technology?
The outtakes were...
Including outtakes, yeah.
...were hilarious.
Yeah, they obviously had a lot of fun doing that. And that was a good idea as well. So again, you know, had a little bit of a different take to it. They had some fun with it. And
I mentioned the Latin names for caches. That was fun. I like those too.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't one of my favorites, but you know, different things appeal to different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Future of Geocaching.
That's the one I was talking about. Yeah. The German one. Yeah.
The German ones. Yes. The Reviewer's Day. I thought that was cute. That had some, decent visual effects in it.
It did. Now that one as well, I thought there's spots in there where I think again maybe there's a bit of a cultural gap in the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some spots like right early in the beginning when they have the close-up shot of the guy stacking the rocks on top of the cache, and you're like, oh, what's the problem? And then they pan back and he's sitting on a rail line, right? Like that was funny.
Yeah.
Then there were some of the other ones where I was really having a hard time trying to figure out what they were getting at. But again, if you cache in that area, maybe you're familiar with some of the challenges they have with the local geocaching, and then it's funny, right? So yeah. I think there's a few things where there's a bit of loss in translation, mm-hmm. which is always going to be a risk when you have something international, but that's okay.
Right. Well, and Chasing the Iron Man says, I didn't get the bus stop number in Reviewer's Day.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I was kind of gapping on as well. It's like, okay, so the person's supposed to be at the other bus stop. Like, so you're saying that the cache owner put the wrong number in the description, or I wasn't following what was going on there.
Let's see. Next, we have Road to Geocacher.
The Japanese submission, yes. Right?
And at last, Tribute. The Tribute cache.
Oh, that was the first film, right?
Yeah, these are listed perhaps in... No, they're not quite in reverse order. I don't know what order these are listed in on the list that I'm looking at. But,
is it alphabetical?
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yes, it is. I have to scan them all. Yeah, that fits. That fits. With the... THE is part of the alphabet. Anyway, Tribute was the, will you go find this cache so we can log it because it's your Tribute cache?
Yeah. Cute. Yeah, that was a cute idea.
And nicely done cache too.
That was a neat idea for a cache. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And for someone with only 100 finds, apparently, she did a pretty good job.
Yeah. She didn't read the clue though.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, So top picks at your event, Land Monkey. I think we already talked about this, didn't we?
We did. So we've talked about number one, number two, number three was The Art of Geocaching, the Canadian version. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, probably a little bit of a home field advantage, but it was visually appealing, mm-hmm. and it was a bit of an interesting story. So we enjoyed that one. How about you guys?
We filled out a form, mm-hmm. that had a grid, and I think 10, you rated it from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
So,
Luddites.
Yes. Well, that's the way things are here. We like a base 10 system. We understand a base 10 system. This is the way we're going to work. But I don't know the results.
Really? They didn't share the results.
Let's see.
See, that's the beauty.
I have to go look to the webpage again.
By the time the prizes were drawn, everybody knew what the results were. Everybody also knew that I can't tell the difference between 3 and 4.
Oh, well. Is that like 7 and 8 at a bus stop?
5 is right out.
Exactly. Well, the story behind that is, like I said, we were playing 4 films. And then voting, playing 4 films and voting, playing 4 films and voting, then playing 5 films and then voting because there were 17. So we broke them up that way. So we played 4 films. We voted. Then I played 3 films and stopped and said, it's time to vote. And there's some discussion amongst the audience of, is that 3 or 4? Because now I'm not sure where we're at. And my excuse was that the Lego film felt like 2 films to me.
That was a stretch.
That was my excuse.
That was your excuse. And you're allowed an excuse. I still don't see it. I'm looking over this website, yeah. And I don't see. Nope.
I have points out that our form didn't go to 11.
Well, if Geocaching HQ would like some help with next year's event to get a little coaching on how to do the polling real time online, I'm happy to help out.
Okay.
There you go.
Ours was at the Northwest Film Forum, and I really wanted to get a Sharpie and make it Caching in the Northwest Film Forum.
Nice.
But I didn't.
So you had to fill out the form at the forum?
Mm-hmm. It was a forum form.
I see. Well, that makes sense then.
Of course. And if we had 4 options on the forum form, mm-hmm. it'd be fine.
4 forum form?
Unless Land Monkey stopped at 3.
Which is entirely possible.
Oh, how
we feel about the films. Oh dear, that was fun. So that was the top picks. So we're not sure what the top picks from your guys' event were. What if you had to choose maybe your top couple, what would they have been?
We had a strong feeling for Geocaching is Free.
Yeah.
Yes.
What would have been second? Wits End?
A different one.
Yep.
Okay, so let me switch gears a little bit. HQ announced either today or yesterday that their overall top pick was The Day in Vilnius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the one with all the spoilers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some amazing geocaches definitely highlighted in that film. But what was interesting is that the feedback from the majority of people at our event was there was two main things that I picked up on. One was, it's all spoilers. You can't make a video that's all spoilers. And the other piece was, how did they get allowed to hide some of those caches? Like, there's no way the reviewers would allow those up here. Like, when you're walking out on the bridge and there's a cache. So I'm thinking.
I wondered if some of them were real ones. Yeah.
They
actually told us at our event that that was the winner. Mm-hmm. They said, you guys are good to know. We're going to announce that tomorrow, but you guys get to know tonight. So we knew that early.
So that was the Signal Award winner.
Right. So I wonder, I guess that's just from their own voting at HQ when they watch all the films and they decide what best fits the theme for the year. And I think I saw something in the chat. Yeah, Chasing the Iron Man said that he felt Vilnius fit the theme the best as well. And I think that if, sorry, pardon me. I think that it did it did definitely fit the theme well. But I thought a number of them did.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm not saying that I disagree with the choice.
But it wasn't a choice you would have picked.
No, I think I would have gone with what the number one was our group. The geocaching is free, and maybe the funny ones just appeal to me more. I don't know. I liked the story arc.
Yeah, you did to me. I liked that one. That was
all right.
I apologize. Which one was the baby geocache?
The GeoArge one.
Yeah, George. Yeah, I liked that one as well. I thought that was a very unique take.
Yes, that came in second at our. Mm-hmm. Event, and rightfully so. It was creative and well put together story once again.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe that's what appeals to me, is a good story.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't feel 17 were too long, 17 films.
No.
I kind of liked 17 in 2017 that, you know, I don't see that being able to perpetuate into the future, but at the same time, I thought that number of films worked well.
Yeah. It was about an hour reel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they've released that reel. I think you've got the link there, Chris.
Yes. I haven't looked at it yet. That is what Bryling posted in the chat.
Right.
So I figure if I look at it, it will start playing and, you know, there we go. It'll be part of the recording forever and ever. Yeah. Amen.
We don't need to do that. But so those who are interested, if you're watching the show live, obviously you can check that link. If you're listening to the show, you can definitely go to the geocaching.com YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Page, and it'll be up there.
Right. I will go and vet it. If it truly is the film reel, I will put it into the show notes.
It is.
And I wouldn't see why it isn't, but I'm just saying I will vet it first, but I trust Bryling, but not enough to just take it at face value. Sorry, Bryling.
All right. So here's my next question for you guys. Assuming that there is a 2018...
Mm-hmm.
And given that we've seen films from the last 3 years, what would you like to see either more of or less of in the 2018 GIF entries.
Well, we definitely need more Dear Geocache Guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that wasn't intended to be a self-serving question, but...
I like, you know, here we have UDACT loved Villainous. You know, I like the story ones. Last year, they did the one with the dog, you know, the A Dog's Day of Caching. Mm-hmm. That was darling.
That was cute. That, and again, there's, you know, there's a good idea there.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Joins all the different people geocaching. Right. And it wasn't. What I don't want to see is any more FTF race films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Done but you those. Don't understand. It's an FTF.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay.
Moving on.
That was kind of interesting with the four friends, I assume, playing poker. And they all, you know.
I don't know.
Gave it's reasons just, why they had to
leave. It's the same story again, though, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the story, it's the same story. It's like it's an FTF race, and then the unexpected person gets the FTF, right? It's like, okay, yep, got it. Let's try something original, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chasing the Iron Man says less FTF stories with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I agree.
He also goes on to say more creative stories, less documentary style, and less really creative.
There you go.
UDAC says, I could do less with the films with no dialogue. Those were hard to understand. Can I get subtitles?
But globally viewable.
They're viewable and they're internationally universally understood.
They're like IKEA instructions.
Yes. There's your next geocaching film.
Yeah.
IKEA caching.
Nice. I'm hoping for some, I don't know what the theme's going to be for next year. I'm just hoping for some original ideas. I want to see something different. I enjoy the funny ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we can get the funny ones, those are good. Those always go over well. But if you're going to do funny, you got to do it with a story arc. Otherwise there's no point.
Right.
If it's just a line of gags, it gets tired pretty fast as well. So, yeah. So stories. Let's focus on getting a bit of a story arc in there.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've already done dogs. Now UDEX says we need cat caching.
It's going to be on YouTube. Why not?
Yeah.
Mountain lions.
Oh, boy. Well, guys, I think GIF 2017 was a success. I hope they continue it again for next year, as you've said, Land Monkey.
Yeah, I hope so.
I
think they did. I guess one last comment from me on that. I think the organizing group at Geocaching HQ who put all the work into this, and it's a whole bunch of different teams, as we know, because if you go back a few episodes, we actually had Aaron and darn it, I can't remember the other lady's name. But anyways, we had them on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about GIF, and they talked about the Very High stuff, and they made the point, that is a really good point, that there's so many different teams at HQ who are involved in putting this on. So specifically to GIF, there's marketing team, there's a creative team, there's the actual organizing and volunteer teams and all these different people who are all involved in putting on a project like that. And we're very thankful they do, because it's very enjoyable in the end. What we get is a lot of fun, and we get a range of different ideas. We get to see what geocaching, how it's perceived in other parts of the world that maybe we wouldn't have the opportunity to travel there. So I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do hope that they do it again. And I'm very thankful to all the folks at HQ who put all the effort into it, and to everybody who's worked on film. Even if we didn't get to see your film in the reel of 17 films that was released by HQ, you know what? Put your film out on YouTube and let everybody see it anyways. So let people see what you worked on.
Exactly. Yeah, post it out there. And if you contact us, we will... share out on social media your films for you and help you out a little bit. So we want to see what you came up with, because, you know, it's a start. Maybe next year it's going to be a little better. Or maybe it doesn't need to be any better. Maybe it was perfect the way it is.
Just like Land Monkey.
That's right.
Do you want something?
Yes.
Doesn't everybody?
Oh, man. All right.
Well, so we get... I think we beat Gajif into the ground.
I think so. And I'm ignoring the comments about no one likes Earth caches in the chat. We'll talk about that hashtag FATAS.
I've heard about Earth caches. What do we do with them?
So until next week.
Yes, until next week. There is going to be a next week, I think. We'll see.
I hope
you're not coming to us from the future tonight, so we don't know what's going to happen.
I can't tell you what's happening. But somebody in the chat's probably in the future already. But until next week. Let's say somebody wanted to write to Land Monkey and ask about Earth caches. Where would they do that?
Well, you know what? I'd be delighted to correspond about Earth caches. Anyways, you can reach us, find us, follow us anytime. Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. We're at Land Monkey GC. On Facebook, we're Team Land Monkey. And on YouTube, we do have the YouTube channel with Land Monkey's Geocaching Adventures. All you have to do is search Land Monkey, LANMONKEY on YouTube. Wits End, my friend.
Hey.
So good to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
If people want to follow Wits End's epic hotel adventures.
I don't know anything about those. No comments there. But Wits End can be found on Twitter, Facebook, geocaching, and most social media platforms. Just look for Wits End. Simple enough. Chris, you?
And since you're here tonight, people don't have to go and tweet you that you've been missed.
Yeah. I know.
I thought that was awfully nice. Hey, you can find me anywhere you can find Caching NW. That could be Twitter, that could be Facebook, Google+. Better yet, just go on over to cachingnw.com/hosts and look at our bios and find all the links that we've mentioned so you don't have to pull the car over to write these things down. But of course, we want to thank you for taking this time to listen to this here episode of Caching in the Northwest. And don't forget, like the many people who've called in, you can be part of the show. Just simply call 253-693-TFTC and leave a comment, ask a question, order us a pizza that you'll never get any time of the day or night. And of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017, 2018, 2019, by Chris Omfanaro. It's from the future, by the way. But what we want you to do is stay tuned for
the after show.
Thanks, folks.
Wow, top of the hour on the nose.
Nicely done.
We planned that.
Yeah.
We're professionals.
We're and lucky.
Speaking of professionals, I love the fact that if I can get into the show doc and change things before Chris gets to them and he has to cold read it, there's...
or order a pizza you'll never get any time of the day or night.
I'm having trouble following the logic.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So what do we have here? Do we have audio to play for the after
we
show?
Actually do.
Nice. Do you want to lead with that, or do we want to talk about some other stuff first?
I don't know. Let's lead with that because, you know, that's the way things are.
Go for it.
That's the order they're done. Okay. So let me just build this up a little bit. Starcacher talked about a daylight savings event that he was going to.
Oh, yeah.
That started at 1:45 and ended at 1:15.
Yeah,
30 minutes before it started. So he sent some audio from that. So let's have a listen.
This is Starcasher in the great Northwest Ohio. I'm in the village of Macomb, and we're at the DST Flash Mob. The Flash Mob is going to starts at 1:45 a.m. and it's going to end a half hour earlier at 1:15 a.m. We have a bunch of people here in a park. Let's see, about 12 people, I think. Well, we have 11 or 12 people, and we're all just sitting around here, or standing around waiting for the magic hour, to where we'll be transported back in time an hour. So, wonder if there's gonna be any special effects, you know. But anyways, well, I guess let's introduce everybody. Everybody, introduce yourself. I, like I said, I'm Starcasher.
Cindy Lou, 1983.
Yeah. Macomb Ref.
W.A. Marks.
Book is me.
And Dog.
Nikolai, 1975.
Taggett.
Casher 212.
Angelus Cowell.
OCCD. Yeah.
So we have a bunch of people here. And, well, just, back there. Whoa, I missed somebody?
He's back here looking at that. Oh,
he's trying to get another cash. We have one other more person who's getting a cash.
The other cashier rejoined the group, and another cashier arrived.
But if you could just introduce yourself, to, that you were here. So that
I'm Sachin Nana.
I miss New York.
Okay.
After some snacks and conversation, the time arrived.
5 seconds, everyone.
Container.
Hey, Barry.
I got 1 o'clock.
Think of a container.
1 o'clock. It's right now.
This is it.
Yay. This is the only thing with that
one.
It's
yay.
Now
1 o'clock. Now 1 o'clock. Wow, that was amazing.
We made our way over to the watershed building to take a picture just as a train was going by.
Jump in the back.
Tall look up, Andy.
Tall guys in the back.
All right.
I'm trying to get between people.
You're good.
How's that working?
Well, everybody's smiling. Hey,
Geo!
DST!
Woo!
I'm actually changing my watch here.
After some more socializing, it was time to wrap up.
Yeah, it's time to go. It's 1:15. Flash Mob is over.
Say goodbye to the people on the podcast here.
Goodbye.
Cashing in West West. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Starcasher, for bringing us into that event. That was fun.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who was at that event for participating in the recording. That was... I still think that's a really original and great idea for an event.
Yeah, so, I didn't have nearly that same event experience, but I did. I had to work late Saturday night in downtown Seattle. And Sunday morning, my wife said, and she was asleep when I got home. And she said, what time did you get home last night? I said, well, I left Seattle a little before 2 a.m. and I got home a little before 2 a.m. According to my phone log, it took me minus 7 minutes to drive home from downtown Seattle. So I thought that was a pretty good thing there.
How fast are you driving?
You know, if I could drive home from downtown Seattle in minus 7 minutes all the time, that would be just fine with me.
That'd be impressive, yeah.
So
you have a very special set of skills.
Can only do it one night a year, but you know.
Or sorry, I said that I have a particular set of skills.
Yeah.
So if we host an event in the spring, we could do a 15-minute event that really is an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We could do a 5-minute event if we schedule it just right.
That's right.
That's funny. Or could you?
We're going to start an event at 1:59 and end it at 3:02.
Mm-hmm.
Two, whatever.
Like you're going to get geocachers to leave after 5 minutes.
I was going to say, you only need to schedule 5 minutes because they show up an hour early.
Yeah. There's that.
Or they show up as the event's ending.
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay. So we've got more FATAS.
Okay.
Than, you know, some time-bending event. Because how cool that is. But
Cool.
We've got more. Okay. Team Finn says, our first library cache was published. That is GC7, Charlie, Quebec, 05. Did I get that? 7, yep. Charlie, Quebec, 05. Didn't seem like enough letters there. The Fairwood library cache. It's really easy, nice. He says.
Congratulations.
GeoNavPros says, things to do on your birthday? Always caching. Yeah. We talked about a birthday coming up here. To which Limax says, I did a nice hike for my birthday this past spring.
Yes. Mrs. Landmonkey did a nice hike with some of our friends on her birthday this past September. That's when we did the 12-hour hike for a 4-year-old FTF.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, that was a
lot. Was that her idea to go for it, or was it just convenience that it popped up?
She had no issues doing that on her birthday.
Okay.
Earlier in the chat, it didn't get tagged with hashtag, but Green Words says, on my last birthday in September of 17, I listened to this podcast with Wet Coaster in Toronto.
Aww.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that was cool.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, we'll sing to you next time.
As long as we know it's your birthday.
Right. Team Finn says, events must be at least 30 minutes long. Right. But we could do a 5-minute event.
Mm-hmm.
Which is technically an hour and 5 minutes.
As long as it covers the time when you change your clock ahead an hour, a 5-minute event becomes an hour and 5-minute event.
Yes.
See?
I'm sure the reviewers would perceive it the same way.
Does the reviewer just hover?
That's right. They show up and wag their finger at you. Yeah. That's funny. What else we got going on?
Dora Moore found an Intercache today. Never heard of them, but it was awesome.
Wow, that's so. Intercache is like a Where I Go.
Where I Go or a Lab Cache even?
Right. Because it's based on, you have to use your smartphone to do it, and you need an active network connection to do it, right?
Correct.
Right, that's the difference between that and a Where I Go.
Right. Active network connection, which could be Wi-Fi at a local business or data on your phone to be able to get to the Intercache page, get to the right spot that the Intercache is leading to, and there are multiple criteria, then it will pop up multiple possible criteria, and it will pop up hopefully a final or a word, you know, something to final coordinates or some sort of clue that will get you to
the
next one.
Are you just making this up as you go along?
Kind of.
Awesome.
Well, because there are so many options you can do in an Intercache. It's not just, you know, get to a location and up pops the final coordinates. It could be a number of people. It could be lots of different things. I mean, okay. I've seen them. You can only do this one on a rainy day. You go there on a rainy day and it gives you the coordinates. You go there on a dry day and it doesn't.
Weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's basically a web-based Where I Go.
Right on.
It was at the Oak Bay Cemetery. That's GC4 Zulu 1 Victor Alpha.
Oh, good job.
4Z1V, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's Canadian. That's 4Z1V, eh? Did you do Z? I didn't hear you.
I said Zed.
I know you did.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Zed.
All right, I see a hashtag from IHAM asking if anybody's going to take some of the cache ideas from the Vilnius clip and run with them. There were some very creative caches in that clip, and that's what I enjoyed about that one.
Mm-hmm.
as well as the scenery. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. a very beautiful place to visit and go geocaching.
But would you want to live there?
I like living where I live, all but right. it didn't actually look that different than where we live in the Northwest, to
it
be
really
honest.
It really didn't, no.
So I think we're good.
I think we are. Hey, folks, yeah. thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate all your great FATAS feedback and your interactions during the show. We really want this show to be a dialogue and not a monologue. So thank you for all that you do. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.